It is always an honor to fill in for Rush Limbaugh. Someone just asked me on social media, someone who's been in radio a long time. Matt asked me, can you talk about what it feels like? Let me tell you, it is surreal. It's always going to be surreal. I'll never get used to it. I will never take it for granted. I will tell you, Rush has meant so much to me in my life, just as a guy, like far before there was ever an opportunity for me to fill in for Rush, far before it was ever a dream. A friend of mine said, you got to listen to Rush Limbaugh. He's like you, but 1,000 times better at being you. And I'm not like Rush. No one is. But what she was saying was, this is a guy who is, you know, getting paid to share his opinion. And it's not just radio. Like when Rush, I heard Rush say career advice, and he spoke of never let people who couldn't do it tell you you can't. That's what led to the career in Fortune 500, you know, tech, literally. That advice from Rush, and now here I am. So what does it feel like? It's the greatest possible career honor you could ever get, and I want to thank the team EIB for making that happen. Let's get to the news, because it is just a phenomenal day for news. It is, this is an exquisite moment for you to convey to anybody who is fence-leaning on the election. It's an exquisite moment for you to say, stop and look. Look around you. Do you want to see this happen again? Is this something you want to invite back into your life? I believe we will make this out. I believe God is in control. I am a fan of the actions, the speed, the focus, the enthusiasm, the love, the communication that's coming out of the Trump administration, even if I don't like $1,000, $2,000 per American being borrowed or printed, even if I don't like the mechanics of that. Because it makes me uncomfortable because I wonder where we're getting the money. Even if I want to know that the president is putting strict limits, I want these limits put on these companies. We're helping you because we hurt you. That's the government. We're helping you because we hurt you. But president's already said, don't you use the American people's money to buy your stock back on the cheap. I don't want to see that. I'd like to see the president say some other things. I don't want to see bonuses paid. I'd like to see CEO Trump, because we're seeing it. And when we see the CEO version of Donald Trump, we are winning. Now, this is a huge battle, right? The virus appears to be a huge battle for us economically and otherwise. This is an exquisite moment. It's an opportunity for you to say, do you think that Joe Biden has the fitness of mind to focus where needed? You think about the moving parts to this. You think of the FEMA people on the front lines. You're on the front lines, right, FEMA people? Thank you for that. You think about the United States Postal Service still getting stuff delivered to people. Thank you for that. It's, don't even, you know, mention the FDA, the CDC, the Army, now the Navy and the ships, the moving parts to this. And yes, there's a team at the White House. Mike Pence is a skilled leader. Mike Pence is going to have his moment. He's also a humble man. He is. He walked into my office at the RNC once. Late at night, we were doing an event to fight Obamacare, and he walks. And he started talking to me before I realized who he was. He was so chill, and I finally said, oh my gosh, Congressman. It's Congressman Pence. Then I mean, sit. He goes, stop. And here it's Mike. I'm just Mike. It was phenomenal. So there's that team. Do you legitimately think Joe Biden could handle this? And I'm not saying that to be cruel. I'm asking a question. Who's his Veep going to be? God forbid. It's a leftist who is in league with, we learned this today. We learned this, Greg sent this to me, Greg from EIP. The Clinton and Elizabeth Warren staffers have teamed up to start a dark money entity to war room for the media, the president's response to this. Is that the side you want? Is that, imagine that being your instinct. Please, just truly, I'm asking you, put aside the talk radio thing for a second. You and me, person to person. What would you think if you met a human being who said, you know what, with this Wuhan flu, oh, we've got a chance to embarrass Donald Trump. Wouldn't you be chilled? I mean, I know D.C. and how it works. And this is different. I don't recall. This is how far adrift the Democrat Party's gone to the left. I don't recall them during the time of 9/11, war rooming the response. There were some squeaks and pops, and I got that, the Michael Moore thing. My memory's not failed, but I don't remember political entities being formed to war room. This is phenomenal. $5 million. How many tests could it buy? It's an exquisite moment to examine this. Joe Biden has spent a career getting cozy with China. I asked you, do you want to have this happen again? Do you want to invite this back into your life? We're going to beat the virus. God is in charge. The president is moving. The pieces are in place. We're going to beat this thing because the Americans are of good spirit. We've talked to them on this program. I heard Ken talk to people yesterday. I've heard Mark talk to people who's been filling in for Rush Limbaugh, who will be back Monday. I've heard the good spirit. I've heard the commitment. I've seen it. We don't want this back in our life, right? Is Joe Biden the guy whose son did a dirty $1.5 billion deal with China to set up sort of the pseudo bank, as I recall? Is Joe Biden the guy to go take China on after this? I don't believe he has a mental acuity, but let's say that he puts his Veep on this. Which of the Veep candidates, because Biden says it's going to be a woman. Well, I mean, it's a Democrat party, so that could be his son, who's now a woman. I mean, to be fair, they could do that. He says it's going to be a woman. Is Elizabeth Warren going to go take on China? She wants to beat China. Is Hillary going to go take on China? She's not. Only if it means money. And when I say take on China, I mean the Chinese regime. I mean this. This is the last time you guys get to hide a virus. And I think I cannot remember the lady's name. Zelly, I believe, from Auburn, Washington, an Asian American. Zelly. Brilliant call. Called this program 2 minutes of brilliance. Zelly said, I want to see reparations from the Chinese regime. She called them thugs. And I think she knows what she's talking about. We had a call in the first hour from a gentleman, a Kazaki, from Kazakhstan. This is Central Asia. He said basically the same thing. None of them bothered by calling it Chinese virus. This is an exquisite moment to look into the future and say, who leads us? Is it someone who cannot remember whether or not his son was the Attorney General of the United States and who's in dirty with China, or is it someone who is doing this focus? You don't have to agree with every financial offer. I am troubled by sending so much money out at once. I am. We have a debt. It's a very serious debt. It will have to be dealt with eventually. Another exquisite moment. We talked with Peter Schweitzer on Rush's show. Peter is an author who spent his life detailing political corruption on the left and on the right. There are three United States senators. Oh, no, four, because Feinstein's one of them. Dianne Feinstein, a Democrat leftist, and three Republicans, I'm sad to announce, apparently went out and sold stock. I'm just going to come out and say, to me, it's very obvious that this is based upon the inside information they got as being in the House, in the Senate. That they went out and sold stock related to the virus and saved themselves money. If they shorted it, made themselves money. Richard Burr, North Carolina, Kelly Loeffler of Georgia, James Inhofe of Oklahoma. They're all Republicans. Dianne Feinstein said this, that, you know, did this. Apparently, they did it. They're all saying, oh, no, I don't have any relation. I don't have any input to the blind trust of Dianne Feinstein saying, oh, my husband, I don't have any input. And Kelly Loeffler saying, oh, yeah, my husband's the president of the New York Stock Exchange, but we're in a blind trust. Schweitzer made the point. All you do is put in a call to say, I got a tip. There's a delicious moment, and it's an important moment, and it is absolutely obscene that the moment comes along matched with loss of life and scared people. If you're scared about your job, we're with you. You're scared about your business. The president, the governors, almost everybody's working for you. We're praying for you. We've talked to people who have ill loved ones in the hospital. They can't go visit. We're with you. God is with you. And then I compare this. Office holders who said, yeah, I need to get to work on some legislation, but first I better sell some stock. There's a moment, time, where maybe they could even look at themselves and say, did I really do that? Who am I? Their staff, their family should say, give it back. The president should call them, give it back. Give it back. So much more to get to on the Rush Limbaugh program. It's Todd Herman filling in on the EIB network. The EIB team in New York keeping things going. I hope one day you guys get to see how this radio show comes together. They're all 100% focused on you, delivering for you. It's Todd Herman in for Rush. What if I were to predict that the free market comes to the rescue of the free market? We've talked and we will talk again, and I welcome your phone calls at 800-282-2882 about the financial aspects of this, what the president is doing, what Mnuchin is proposing, $1,000 to $2,000 per person, $500 bonus if you have a kid, or $1,200 bonus if you have a kid. The president is clamping down. He demands limits on how the companies use this money. Thank God he's demanding these limits. I'd like to see more of those. But then there's also the free markets. And to see a test come about that you can take at home, we were talking about this earlier in the program, that there is a test called, was it Earlywell? Yeah, Earlywell, that the companies put together an at-home test for the Wuhan flu. I'm saying that better because we had a gentleman on who teaches English to kids in young people in China, the Wuhan flu. So Earlywell's created this test. You on Monday, you will be able to get this test and get tested at home. They align with telehealth doctors. So you don't just get tested. You have to fill out a form to say, here are my symptoms. Then they do telehealth so they can confirm that. If you have the symptoms, an indication that you have the virus, boom, you can get into the testing. The data on who isn't sick is as valuable as the data on who is. And the most important data from this, in my mind, I'm nowhere near an epidemiologist. I'm a radio, I'm a rodeo clown who worked really hard to get into radio. Okay. Knowing who got the virus and didn't get dreadfully sick, being able to extrapolate those numbers to say, wait a minute, maybe we only need to quarantine people who are in really at-risk populations. You compare California, 40 million people on lockdown with the threat of a misdemeanor charge. Folks, a misdemeanor charge. If they defy, I hate that in relation to the government, if they refuse to comply with the lockdown, and they're not one of the waived populations who has an essential job, or that they're going to the pharmacy, going to the grocery store. You compare the free market coming in to rescue to that situation. What if in California it's only 5 million people or 3 million who need to be locked down? Our economy could come back much sooner, because there is no doubt we are going to be in, the hit on our economy, I'm in my 50s, nothing I've ever seen, except for I won't even get there. John in Orange Park, Florida, you're on the Rush Limbaugh program. It's Todd Herman filling in. Hi, John.
Hi, Todd. Great to talk to you. I was tested on Monday. I went to my doctor. He wrote me a prescription because I met all the symptoms. I had the dry cough. I had a fever. I had respiratory problems as far as breathing if I tried to walk too far and stuff. And I'm a high risk because I've got diabetes and other health issues. So he wrote me a prescription. I went to the local health department first thing Tuesday morning. They tested me, told me 24 to 48 hours for my results. And then after 48 hours, I called them and they said, well, it could be 1 to 2 weeks. And oh, yeah, we need to tell you, we only tell people their results if they're positive. We don't inform people if they're negative.
Wow.
So my life's kind of on hold here. I can't go to work. My fiance can't go to work. We're kind of stuck here in the house self-quarantining, and I may be perfectly healthy.
Wow, John, I'm so frustrated for you. It's just got to frustrate you. Are you feeling okay? Are you and your fiance, are you feeling okay health-wise?
Yeah, otherwise, I mean, I feel pretty good. The doctor put me on some steroids and some other stuff, and that seems to be helping. I'm breathing better, and the fever's dropped off. But yeah, it's the fact that I can't work, and I work for commission. So the thing is, my office is working right now, but I can't make any money.
Oh man, I've done that. I've done the commission work. Wow, Bob, John, what's your fiance's name?
What'd you say? Oh, her name's Annette. He's actually figured out how to work from home, but her business isn't really set up for that. But she's kind of doing it from home anyway.
Good for her. I want to just say to the folks in this audience that Rush has built, this community that Rush has fostered, please say a prayer for John and Annette that they get these results soon. And man, I'm frustrated for you. That's awful. We'll keep thinking of you. I appreciate you telling folks about this. They need to know. And thanks for calling us. Stay safe down there. We will thinking of you, John. Thanks very much. Social media, someone just said this to me. Todd Herman, L. Rushbo sub, doesn't know what a blind trust is. Kelly Loeffler didn't know about the stock trades made in her portfolio, and yet Herman, with zero evidence, just implied that she got a phone call. Awful radio, absurd claim. Rush would not approve. Thanks for that. And I'm actually kind of playing off the words of Peter Schweitzer. Peter Schweitzer, who has spent 20 years documenting corruption in Washington, D.C., Peter Schweitzer, who himself, I believe, said, I don't buy that they keep these trusts blind. And FYI, I do know what a blind trust is because I just about put myself in one for real estate properties. And because it was truly blind, I said, no way. There's no way I'm going to be in a true blind trust. No way. I got to have some control, some insight. And it's quite a coincidence that all four of these people were involved at high levels. And look at that. By golly. They all did the same trades. I wonder if their blind trusts were talking to one another. But that would mean that they had introduced their blind trusts to one another. I mean, here's the thing. I don't trust people who have been in Washington, D.C. for over about 4 years. Because I worked in D.C. and I was offered $1 million bribe, at least $2 or $3 million bribe. The second week I was there, second or third week I was there. And all I had to do was pretend someone knew what they were doing in their job. That's it. Or in their contract. I just had to turn my head and pretend that they were competent digital practitioners. That's all I needed to do. So I don't trust that this is blind. But that doesn't mean that I don't understand what a blind trust is. I also understand how you can put in a phone call because you can call and say, Red Horseshoe loves Green Tavern. And we all know what that means, right? Because we watched the movie Wall Street. People's lives in the balance. We've been through these things before. Spanish flu, there were lockdowns. In Seattle, there were lockdowns elsewhere. And we'll come back. Let's look at this from a historical perspective, maybe with a chance to use history to propel ourselves forward as we battle the Wuhan virus together. It's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. One of the things that must happen in this period of time is there's got to be an assessment of what shared sacrifice means. Because if you look across the country, obviously business owners, massive sacrifice. People have lost their jobs, waiters and waitresses. And if you're in that group, man, my thoughts are with you. My prayers are with you. If you're a business owner, you got the vendor contracts hanging over your heads. I do understand that, not from the perspective of having a massive virus shut my business down, but having to stare that stuff in the face. There's going to have to be a reckoning in the multiple societies that we've built here. In big cities like New York City, they're now saying, just imagine this. I organize my thinking politically by saying, where there's a double standard, there's a hidden agenda. Okay? Where there's a double standard, there's a hidden agenda. You're being told to quarantine in place. In California, it's a misdemeanor if you don't comply. The people who are in the drug camps in California, the homeless camps, which are in fact drug camps, do what you want. That's cool. New York City, it's the same thing. Portland, Oregon, it's the same thing. Seattle, Washington, it's the same thing. I don't know what they're doing in Texas. In Austin, which is going through this grand experiment of intent living. So those folks, they're not sacrificing. They're not changing their life at all. They're not being compelled to do that. Baltimore said, we're not going to charge, not going to prosecute property crimes. So criminals are having the opposite of a sacrifice. It's a holiday. And then there's this, and my mom is a teacher. My wife is a teacher. I worked in the government schools. Okay. if you're not teaching and you're not working and you're taking a paycheck and your neighbors have been furloughed and sent home because of government action, are you okay taking the paycheck? Because from my perspective, when you build a three-tiered society or a four-tiered society through government diktat, that's a bad thing. And government's going to have to deal with this reckoning. The other thing, and I hope that there's, I would love to understand who in the government is wargaming this, or let's say scenario planning this. How long will people in California abide by a stay inside order? How long can they? I hope that this is being calculated. I got to believe there's experts at FEMA who think about and are monitoring people's patience with this. Hopefully not by spying on us, although this is going to be one of the offshoots of this. Just understand something that will come. You're going to live in a society where they're going to offer you this. Hey, you know what? In order to fly in an airplane, we're going to need to be able to track your cell phone for the past month and know if you've come in contact with anybody who is sick or if someone you know came in contact with someone who's sick. These are decisions we'll make as a society. Are you cool with that? Would that be a sacrifice you would make? That when you show up at the airport, oh, I'll need to scan your smartphone, know you by name, and say, well, wow, you've been around a bunch of people who've been sick. We're not going to let you in the airplane today. These things will come, and they'll be offered to us. And there's that whole thing of, we'll give you absolute guaranteed safety in regard for absolutely no privacy. These decisions are going to be put in front of you. And the decision for the government and for the, it's less the president than it is the state's governors. Are you going to ask the teachers to sacrifice some pay? Or are you going to pretend that that's not an issue because people know what's going on? Are you going to have the buses stop running and the trains stop running? Saw the train this morning in Seattle. There were like six people on it. There it is running. Are you going to stop that like you've stopped us and other actual businesses? Or are you going to keep rolling so you keep soaking up the federal money? Because I know, and you know, every time a train's moving, every time a bus is moving, even if there's no one on it, you're getting federal dollars. Yummy, yummy, yummy. So these are all things going on all around you, and the government is going to have to decide on what shared sacrifice means. They are. Let's talk to Frank in Burlingame, California. Speaking of shared sacrifice, Frank, welcome to the Rush Limbaugh program. It's Todd Herman filling in. Hi, Frank.
Todd, thanks very much for having me. I called in based on what's been going on with the media recently and how they've been really trashing the Trump administration for its response to the virus. As Trump has pointed out, we're in a war with an invisible enemy, and he's ramping this up as quickly as possible. And when one looks back in history, probably the greatest Democrat president in most people's eyes is Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who had been in office over 8 years at the time the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, and of course we had a tremendous amount of our battleships taken out. We were fortunate that the aircraft carriers were, not all of them were in the harbor there, and that really helped out. But the bottom line was we were no more prepared to go to war with the Japanese than the Trump administration could go to war with this invisible enemy, as it was had to play by the CDC rules at that particular point in time. As soon as it realized it was a problem, and Trump took the right action, of course, to limit China from flying in and out, people flying in or out of China. And the net result was he's being kind of slammed for a slow response, not enough ventilators, not enough doctors, not enough hospital beds possibly, and so on. Well, FDR had faced this exact same problem, but he had a media and I guess an American people that understood, you know, we've always had a defense army, but we never had an offense army. We never were a country, and we should never be, that's an offensive machine. But the American people came together. The corporations came together. He asked for tanks to be built, planes to be built, things we didn't have. He asked for people to volunteer, and the military was overwhelmed with the number of volunteers based on what had happened on December 7th. So it would seem to me that either we've changed tremendously as a people, or the media has changed tremendously in those years between the Japanese bomb in Pearl Harbor. That was something everybody could see, of course.
Right.
This is a little different because you can't necessarily see it.
Yeah,
we've heard the numbers.
Yeah, we've heard the numbers. And listen, what you're saying, this is so profoundly important that we hear what Frank is saying. You can't ramp up until it's here. And I was listening to a couple of the epidemiologists on a podcast on the way over here who were saying it is always true that people say you were too slow in the beginning and you were too harsh once it hit. And I was bouncing that against China and my absolute outrage that China knew this existed and hid it, which is not being slow, it's being deceptive. But Frank, to your point, I don't care for FDR even a little bit. I mean, World War II, yes, he saved the nation. In that way, he saved the world. On that front, clearly. But so many of what we live with today were FDR programs that have metastasized. But what you said about the media is so true, and there's this. The collusion between the Democrat Party and the media and the international left is so thick and so profound that on a dime, all of a sudden, you have everybody defending China. So China didn't attack us. Their decision to hide this data from us is killing our citizens and our economy. Okay? The media did not come to Japan's defense. Well, I mean, the New York Times, but that's that. They didn't team up against FDR. Well, why are you doing this? There's a literal teaming up to make China the good actor in this, the Chinese regime. Ask yourself this question. Do you think this is like war against an invisible enemy? If you think yes, are you okay having the media team up with the international left to try to make China the good guy in this? So, Frank, that's a brilliant, brilliant call. And I want to thank you for joining Rush's show and adding to it. Thank you very much, Frank, for the phone call. Well, there's much more. We'll get to much more on this. There is another call to send China a bill on this. We'll talk about that. What is an essential job? This is going to be a big question because the state of Texas, now they're not quite on lockdown, but they're saying that if you have a non-essential state job, you need to stay home. In California, if you don't have essential work, you're supposed to stay home or it's misdemeanor. So let's talk about what is not essential. What isn't essential when we're fighting this virus? Because we learned the other day that people who fix copy machines are essential to the healthcare world. It's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. Thank you, everybody, for all the prayers pouring in for Rush Limbaugh. I've heard him say he really appreciates that. In fact, if you want to go back and listen to the show, Rush's show, since we're going to be quarantined at home, California, etc., Texas, do subscribe to Rush 24/7. You listen to any of the award-winning programs of the Medal of Freedom winner, Rush Limbaugh. You get it at rushlimbaugh.com. With Rush 24/7, you get your first 4 weeks free. Wait, I didn't get, how come I, oh, wait, I signed up earlier. I didn't get that. And if you haven't downloaded the app, you got to do that. The Rush Limbaugh app's at the Apple Store, Google Play. I get both the Limbaugh Letter and Rush 24/7. And yes, I do actually pay for those. So many things to look at now as we shift into this mode of in the fight. There is after the fight. Some structural things that I would love to see done is we have an unemployment fund. Someone on social media had suggested maybe doing a business interruption insurance fund. And I know that those exist, but I'm talking about on a broader scale. The other thing we need to look at is what healthcare system do we want? We had a call, a gentleman really frustrated. He and his fiance, they've been tested for the virus. They don't know if they have it. And they don't tell you if you don't. They only tell if you do. And then, of course, we had a lab technician on the other day saying, look, we're working 4 or 6 triples. We 12-hour days, 5 days in a row. We don't have time to tell you don't have it. Very frustrating. The healthcare system we have now, for every single doctor, there are 16 paper pushers. Okay? 16-to-1 bureaucrat to doctors. Is that ratio helping us right now? Obamacare stole from physicians who had their own practices. They stole their right to expand their facilities. particularly if they were surgeons. Okay, you can't expand your facility. You got to go join a hospital so we can have more distributed facilities. We could have more places for people to go, but Obamacare, in service of the hospital unions, forced doctors to leave their practices because if you can't expand, you can't add new equipment, you're dead. That was the point, was to kill them, their businesses. Is that the healthcare system we want? I was reading a Harvard Business Review article the other day. You know where new med school graduates are going? They become doctors. You know what their next step is? Go get an MBA. Why? So they can be in hospital and medical and insurance administration. They've been given, oftentimes with federal dollars, the incredible gift to save people's lives with their hands and minds, and instead they become bureaucrats. Look, hospital administration has to happen. I bet you guys are working hard, too. I don't mean to say that you're not. Is that the healthcare system we want? Or would we prefer a healthcare system where doctors get more joy in their jobs, where they're able to make more money, where they're able to be entrepreneurial, where they're able to distribute facilities all across the country? I'm just asking. Because please don't tell me that single payer is going to solve this. It won't. You want to know why? Because if the government takes us all over, we'll talk later about I have an obsession with stopping single payer. It doesn't stop the bottleneck. Well, in fact, it'll get worse because when single payer comes, guess what? Doctors quit. Nurses quit. They don't want to be government employees. Most of them just don't. Let's talk to Steve in Tampa, Florida. You are on the Rush Limbaugh program. Hello, Steve. Welcome to the Rush Show. It's Todd Herman filling in.
Hi. Great show, Miss Rush. The other thing is you know, every generation has been called upon to do service for their country. The greatest generation, World War II, Korea, even Vietnam. And all we're asking these young people to do is to stay home and not get infected, to go home and give it to their grandparents. That's all they're asking. And this generation just doesn't seem to get it.
Yeah. So you're telling the young people this. You're saying, you know, grandma and grandpa, who have loved you from the day you were born, and grandma and grandpa, who have given you Christmas gift after Christmas gift and would give their lives for you, they need you. They need you to not go out. And if you're out, God forbid you have to do this, but if you're out, you can't go see grandma and grandpa. I think that's what you're saying, Steve, right?
Yeah, you hit the nail right on the head.
All right. Well, you know what? Because of the community you have helped Rush Limbaugh build, you just said it to the biggest audience you'll probably ever speak to. I appreciate the phone call, Steve. I appreciate you taking the time to think of others. Look, it's a real balance. It is. Like keeping kids away from kids and not letting your kids socialize. And for some kids, that's really detrimental to their mental health. It is really, really detrimental to their mental health. There's a balance to walk. If you must go out, then and you have loved ones in your life who are in these exposed, vulnerable populations, one thing's got to give. And that thing that's got to give is you don't go hang with grandma and grandpa. This has got to give. It's Todd Herman here for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. We'll come back and wrap up the day with you. What an absolute honor to fill in for Rush Limbaugh today. I want to thank Greg and Mike in New York. I want to thank Ali, Bo Snerdly, and clearly the Maharushi himself for allowing me this great, tremendous honor and the fun of working with this team, even when things are tough. And folks on EIB, you know, Team IAB, they're in New York. And, man, it is getting kind of scary for a lot of people. And I'm working with people who are of good cheer. I went this morning. There's a little convenience store that's just up around the station. I work at KTTH AM770 in Seattle during the weekdays, morning show. And I've gone there for years, 6 years. I love it because the people, I know their history. They live upstairs or lived upstairs for years. They own it outright. The family works every day. They do a great job with sandwiches and salads. And it's like it's just a little stop. There's nicer places, but not nicer people. Went by this morning. Hadn't been in a while. And they said, word it was because of the virus. I told them, no, I've been working remotely. But when I walked in, the smile on this lady's face, she said, you come back. You come back. I said, of course, I'm always going to come back. And I asked her if she had any gift cards I could buy. And she got this tear in her eye. And she's, well, we won't sell the gift cards. So I bought the biggest load of protein bars I've ever bought in my life. We're not supposed to hug. So we gave each other an air hug. Just someone I buy food from. We're in this together. I'll pray for you. It's Todd Herman, for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network.